From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. With our guest from the NPR fashion series, The Seams, Jackie Lydon, will explore seminal Indian patchwork. Creating this colorful clothing is a technique that has been passed down from generation to generation and has become an important means of income. Designs used on women's skirts today can be extremely intricate. We'll meet several women who make, teach, wear, and show seminal patchwork. And former newspaperman and Tampa-based author Tim Dorsey is out with his 19th book about Florida serial killer and anti-hero Serge Storms. He's on tour in Southwest Florida starting this weekend. We'll talk with Tim Dorsey about his books, which are also being made into a TV series. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. In about half an hour, we'll meet Tim Dorsey, a Tampa-based author who writes about the history and kitsch of Florida through the tales of his lovable anti-hero. His books are becoming a TV series. But first, we'll explore the 60-year-old sewing technique known as Seminole Indian Patchwork. The Seminole Tribe of Florida's website says women developed it shortly before 1920 when they started sewing bands of designs directly into garments. The designs became more intricate, and they were adopted to decorate the already bright and colorful tribal clothing. Now there's a commercial market for it, and it's a creative source of cultural pride and artistic achievement. Joining us to talk about seminal artwork is Jessica Osceola. Jessica is an FGCU graduate from Naples who uses patchwork in her art and recently curated a show on patchwork at the Seminole Atatiki Museum. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hello.
Ashley Cypress is a seamstress on the Miccosukee Reservation in Collier County who teaches the craft in her home. Ashley joins us by phone. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Hello. And Jackie Lydon is in studio also. She's put this all together for us because the longtime NPR reporter and host is now producing a fashion podcast and NPR series called The Seams. And she's been doing a series on Seminole Indian patchwork here in Florida. Thank you so much, Jackie.
I am absolutely delighted to be here with you, Amy. Thanks a lot.
And you can join our conversation. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook, WGCU Public Media, or join our live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Let's start with Jessica. What is patchwork?
Patchwork is rows of colorful fabric sewn together to create dresses, skirts, jackets, clothing that Seminole Miccosukee people wear.
You studied art here at FGCU, and you're getting your MFA now, right?
Correct.
You create contemporary art and Seminole tribal art. So how do you adapt patchwork into your art?
Well, I think it's really natural. I have a lot of I've seen patchwork my whole life. My grandmother, I wore it. My aunts, my sister's family. So it's a part of my daily lifestyle. And going to school is part of my daily thing. So it was just natural that the two would come together to create something both modern and traditional.
An exhibit you co-curated at the Atatiki Museum about Seminole patchwork was called It's Not a Costume. What was your message with that, especially with that title?
Well, before I even did that, helped co-curating that show, I always had this thing that everybody always thought we were wearing costumes or that we brought them out of the closet for once a year to show to the tourist to make some money. And so I wanted to break the misconceptions that it's a costume. It's our clothing. It's our identity. It's our pride. It's our daily lifestyle. So with the show, I wanted to showcase, kind of like that modern and traditional thing. Like we're still working in traditional processes and culture and people that things that people, I think, identify with something that's in the past or extinct or dying. But, I mean, the kids wear them every day. So they pick out their favorite SpongeBob or Spider-Man fabrics, so or the girls with their Hello Kitties, and they wear them as they're part of their daily outfits. It's something like we go to the store and we pick out our colored shirts. We like knits or we like this or we like that, and it's what we wear. So this show, I wanted to break those misconceptions and stop people from calling it a costume is in a negative way, not necessarily. I think most people say it out of maybe ignorance to mm-hmm. the subject. So I wanted to bring education and light on patchwork and daily life of Seminoles.
You've taken on major fashion label designers, too, who've appropriated patchwork. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I've seen a few things here and there between Donna Karan and Urban Outfitters. And Seminole patchwork is not the only victim to this trend. Navajo people, Aboriginals from Australia. There's lots of people across the globe where indigenous designs and textiles, patterns, ways of putting things together are being used in the fashion industry. And while they call it inspiration and freedom to be inspired, some of the things that are verbatim exactly like our patchwork, you know, like it's offensive. It's offensive to us. I think that you ought to give somebody credit, even if you just say, like, inspired by Seminole people. I don't think there's a problem with giving credit where credit's due.
Have you done something personally to let them know this?
Yeah, between my cousins and I, so also other seamstresses, Seminole patchwork makers, we would write letters to Donna Karan, to the companies. We would call them, and we came together and created this group called Seminoles for Authenticity. And we would also get together with other cultural departments, Big Cypress and other things, and discuss these issues. Right now I'm taking on my MFA and a baby, so, you know, things are a little slow. But we still we always sit down and have these conversations, and that's what's important, is that we keep it on the table at all times, that we're not going to just, like, be walked all over. We want our designs and everything to be by us. We want people to know that it's us doing it. And even if making waves and just calling attention to that, that means that the people like Donna Karan aren't taking the credit for it.
Now, Jackie tells me you've saved all the patchwork dresses your grandmother made for you as a child. Why was it important to keep those?
Well, I have to thank my parents for that, because I probably would have destroyed them playing in the mud or something. But they handed them to me when I moved into my house and when I became stable. So that they would be preserved, but they do show, like, my grandmother, they show part of my family by all the different grandmothers or aunts that gifted me those things and worked hard for it. And I used to wear skirts, like, every day. It was, like, it was my daily attire, sundresses, skirts, and all this stuff. So I didn't wear these clothes that I'm wearing, more modern, you know, express and whatever else. So I just think that it was important to hold on to those things and keep remembering so I can move forward. I don't know.
And your baby, boy or girl?
Boy.
So does he dress indigenously, or does he just, you know, get onesies that are from the store or whatever?
No, he's a multicultural baby. He's of three cultures. He's of American, and he's Seminole, and he's also Chilean. And so with all three of them, he dresses in ponchos and leather boots and tribal shirts, Seminole shirts, patchwork. He dresses in all of them. So we don't put it all. And then he also has his Nikes. So, you know, he's a multicultural, well-rounded fashionista.
And when do you wear patchwork?
When I feel like it, randomly, all the time. It's a nice, cool day, so I have a beautiful patchwork jacket that my grandmother made.
Yep. On the chair. Laying here.
Yes. When I feel like going out to a nice dinner, put on my skirt, look a little fancier. When I go and visit my grandmother, when I go to the movies with my sister, just anytime.
And so do most Seminole people have patchwork garments that are special to them?
Yes, I believe so. I think that in my own household, my dad always made us take care of our clothing, because my grandmothers would work so hard to sew them. But I think they become like heirlooms, you know, of like your family members and then yourself, and then you pass it down. And so I think that most people in their homes feel the same way, because there's so much work and effort and creativity and love that goes into these garments.
Now, Jackie, how do you define patchwork?
Well, just because I'm always challenged as a radio person to come up with an instant word picture, and especially for a population outside the state and non-native, I say, you know, think of it like cotton origami. And when we speak to Ashley, I think she can tell us a lot about, you know, how it's actually pieced together, because what it is not is bedspreads or quilts. And again, we're here in Southwest Florida. I am assuming that with our audience today, a lot of people will have seen this. You know, you talk about appropriation. You get off the plane sometimes and there's not only garments, sometimes under glass, which I think is great, but you'll see actually seminal designs running here and there on signs or whatever. It's almost kind of morphing into becoming another symbol of the state of Florida. And, you know, some of that, that's just going to happen. But I guess my interest was just, what? What is this? And I, you know, I fell in love with this through visiting here.
And how did you discover it, though, first of all?
You know, I started coming down here, Amy, as I think you know, about a decade ago for my mom's health. I had not been in this state in decades prior. And I'd been, you know, and so I am a seeker myself. You know, that's why one becomes a journalist, I think. And I met the Naples-based artist Muffy Clark Gill, who had did these really colorful batiks on oil, canvas, tile. And she had done them from a lot of historical scenes with postcards collected by people like the collector historian Patsy West. Now, I'd grown up amongst – not amongst, but alongside various Ho-Chunk people in rural Wisconsin – and I was always interested in Native stories, creation legends, the history, who had lived there before the settlers came. I just always was. And so this all kind of really spoke to me. And also Paul Arsenault, another friend and colleague here in this area.
An artist
who's also painted here. And the Ata Tiki Museum. So when I started doing the seams, I needed a Florida sponsor, and I have Florida Cultural Resources out of Tarpon Springs to thank for that, the Florida Humanities Council to thank for the major grant that we got to do the series for NPR, and that's the brief story.
Well, and you need – the seams is about fashion and clothing, and this fits perfectly.
The seams is about clothing as culture, absolutely. I mean, what we're not about necessarily is high fashion unless there's a business story or – you know, for example, if I had never heard of Jessica and I learned about the Seminole Tribe of Florida's objections to appropriation by designers like Isabel Marant is another one, Donna Karen. A number of these people over the years have just, I'll do my urban warrior stuff without even giving it a thought at how offensive that can be. Journalism can too. You know, you tell somebody's story, that can be the worst way of erasing someone. So I am so grateful to Jessica, to Ashley, to Wanda Bowers, who couldn't be with us today, who directs the Princess Pageant. For the tribe at Hollywood, which anyone can go to the last weekend in July. There are so much opportunity here to imbibe Seminole and Miccosukee culture and so many festivals and fairs and rodeos and all kinds of things.
Are you going to do the story about the appropriation?
Well, I'm doing a story about this lady sitting here with us.
So I guess that might come out, huh?
So I think it'll come out. Jessica is my grand finale. So by next fall, I have to be done by November of 2016. We've already done a number of interviews, yes.
So we'll talk about what's coming up in the series in just a bit. But that came up. I was really wondering if that was going to be one of them. What, Jackie, intrigues you most about patchwork?
Well, you know, it was interesting, Amy. I was thinking about how to describe this. We've had two pieces on. One was the Saturday, and anyone can find this just by going to theseams.org, theseams.org, or npr.org/theseams, and or write me jackie.lyden@gmail.com. I'll give you more info. How to describe it? Is that what you were asking me?
Why were you so intrigued by it? I mean, I've lived here for since 1989, and I've seen it, and it never dawned on me to do stories about it.
Well, I know clothes tell stories, full stop. Clothes tell stories. Now, unfortunately, I wish often that they would, you know, tell their own, but you have to find someone who can talk about it, since I'm never seeing a talking piece of fabric, although that could happen, tech clothing in the future. And I knew that these were amazing things, and I guess what I was talking about with our series is how to describe it. And I said, you know, kind of like, especially when you see patterns, Jessica, side by side, like the jacket you have with you, I almost think of it as like kaleidoscopic op art, you know, like from the 1960s. The undulation, the vibrancy, you would know this as an artist, the juxtaposition of bright colors. And then many of the patterns have names. or have been given names. And so the history and the fact that it was distinctive, I mean, my understanding, and Ashley can chime in on mm-hmm. this, is that women began doing this from bolts of cloth, that there was a somewhat of a imitation of European styles that had come before. But also cotton is really practical for people who live in the Everglades. You can wash it and it's cool and it breathes. Do you want to add to this?
Wearing? Well, let's get to Ashley in a second. I want to remind people that we are talking about Seminole Indian patchwork. Are you curious about how it's made, its history, or its cultural significance? Our phone number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Our guests are Naples artist Jessica Osceola, NPR reporter Jackie Lydon, and Miccosukee seamstress Ashley Cypress. Ashley, let's talk about the history. What can you tell us about the history of patchwork?
Well, when patchwork first started, it was very simple, just like strips of fabric put together. But once Singer donated sewing machines to the tribe, the pattern started getting more intricate. Like, started you sew the bands together, and then you cut them apart and put them together again. That's how you get the different designs. And there's certain designs that represent different things in our culture or things that we see out in the world. Like, we have man on horse, like telephone poles, fire, lightning, all kinds of things. And then there's just designs that are, like, more modern, that are like diamond shapes, and more recently, like, personally, like, someone will ask me to imitate like a cartoon character, and I'll try my best to make a pattern that looks like it, and make, like, I've done Minions before.
That's like kinda, from
Shrek. That's like kind of like more recent. But yeah, it's just it's a lot of patience goes into patchwork.
And I see in Jessica's coat, there's a lot of rickrack separating yes. the patterns.
Yeah, we use rickrack. We use bias to accent the patchwork.
Now, I'm curious though. You're Miccosukee. You're the reservation in Collier, but you make Seminole patchwork. Can you explain if there is any difference, or what is the difference?
No, we're pretty much the same people. Like, we come from the same group of people. It's just we had split off and made a separate tribe, because Seminoles they're more, I guess, they like to go to, a lot of them are more church going and stuff like that, and Miccosukees are very like traditional, and I guess that's one of like the main things that caused them to branch off and start their own tribe. But we're pretty much the same people, because there's families that have Miccosukees and Seminoles, so it's just the affiliation with the tribe, but we're the same people pretty much, and that's why our patchwork is the same.
Okay, so that's what, yeah, the patchwork is the same patchwork.
Basically. Yeah.
And
we're
so
the same people.
Ashley, you have your own business creating patchwork clothing. Obviously, there's
yes.
enough demand to keep you in business.
Yeah. Last year, I started an Instagram with that was just for my patchwork. So people will message me and ask me to make clothes for them, and I'm happy to oblige. And I love what I do. It's art. Like, I love art, so this is my craft.
What do people ask you to make for them?
Different things, but mostly I kind of put a modern flair on patchwork clothing. So I've made a Cinderella ball gown for my niece because she was Little Miss Seminole for this past year. So I made most of her dresses that she wore out to appearances and stuff. And I have nieces that I've made prom dresses for. And it's I'm inspired by, I guess, high fashion. And if anybody just shows me a picture and they ask me, can you make this? Like, I'm willing to try.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
What's so cool about Ashley's business, it's called Alley Cat Creations with a K, A, right? A-L-L-E-Y-K-A-T-K-R-E-A-T-I-O-N-S, is that this just shows, and I think Jessica would agree, how modern this is. Because your show at Ata Tiki was not about garments that were necessarily static and frozen in history. Clothing evolves. That's why we have fashion shows in every culture. That's why we have something like New York Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. When I visited Ashley back in September, Ashley, you had just finished live streaming New York Fashion Week at home, which I thought was a hoot.
Did you get ideas for that, for your patchwork clothing?
Yes. I saw a lot of embellishment with, like, florals and rhinestones, so... when I made my niece's Cinderella ball gown, like I sat there and I glued little rhinestones all over it, and I put a beaded butterfly on the neckline. So
it's absolutely
beautiful. I incorporate all kinds of things.
Now you also teach patchwork classes in your home.
Yes.
What are they like, and who are your students?
Well, my students are Nadine. She's the oldest of the group. And then I have three sisters, Davina, Diana, and Kaylani. And then I have Elise. She's one of the youngest. She's only 10. And then I have my niece, Dora, and my other niece, Destiny.
Are these little kids? We say 10. What's the oldest? A teenager or an adult?
Oldest, no, she's about 23.
Okay, so 23 to 10.
And, yeah, and then the others are in between.
And they're learning to sew patchwork.
They make patchwork. They make dresses. In December, they actually had their own little mini fashion show at the Miccosukee Arts Festival. Hmm. My uncle had asked me, because he heard about my class, and asked if the girls could make their own outfits and have a little fashion show. So I said, okay. I was like, that's wonderful. And the girls worked for about 3 months on their outfits. They each made traditional style outfits that they used to wear, like in the 1940s, 50s, all the time. So they got inspiration from that. My dad has a whole bunch of old photographs that we were looking at, and they used the old style patchworks that they saw on there, and they made these long, beautiful outfits. And if you go on my Instagram or on my Facebook page, you can see pictures on there. There's even a short video of the fashion show. And the girls made everything from start to finish, all the patchwork, and put the dresses together, and they showcased it, and everybody loved it.
And we have a link to your Instagram, Alley Cat Creations, at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. So anybody who can't remember how to get there, it's there as well. I think you need to change your smoke alarm battery, if that's what I'm hearing. Anybody else is hearing this probably thinking, I wonder what that is. I think that might be what that is. I want to talk. We have a guest who wasn't able to join us today, but I want to talk about the Miss Florida Seminole pageant a bit. I understand, Ashley, that you do sew dresses for some of the contestants.
Yes, my niece, Skyla Osceola, is actually the reigning junior Miss Seminole.
Wow!
So, whenever she wants a new dress, I make a new dress for her.
How long does that take to do?
Well, this past weekend she was appearing at the Seminole Tribal Fair, and last minute she asked me to make her an outfit, so I finished that outfit in one day.
Wow.
So
all day, right?
I sat there sewing nonstop to finish for her.
And speaking of the pageant, Jessica was also a contestant, right?
Yeah, many years ago.
How many dresses did you need to participate in the contest?
Well, I'm not a very fashionable person, I guess, naturally. But I called up my grandmother, and she's kind of independent. She doesn't live on a reservation or anything. She lives out in Everglades National Park. And I said, Grandma, please, I need an outfit. And so I got one. And I was very lucky and honored that she did it very fast. So, Ashley, I feel your pain for my grandmother, too, because I asked her last minute and she sewed around the clock. But she made me a beautiful design, old style, kind of like the midriff style you see with the attached cape, all cotton, just very simple, but extremely beautiful. And she's an artist and a craftsman. She's amazing. I had one, and that was it.
Yeah. We have some pictures that Jackie's husband took from the pageant. They're posted on our website at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Are you ladies telling me that all of the dresses we see in those pictures are handmade?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That is somebody's amazing.
Yeah. Oftentimes, dresses are a huge labor. And anyone may purchase them at tribal events or from someone like Ashley. But the reason they're expensive is this is all hand labor. And
it's one of a kind.
You will never see another, one like the one you're wearing.
They're all original. So, Ashley, are you not following a pattern? Is this something you might copy because somebody asked you to make a copy of the dress you're talking about earlier? But if the one you made for your niece, just off the top of your head, totally unique?
I don't really like to use patterns. I look at a garment, like, if I walk through a store, I'll stop and I'll look at garments and turn it inside out and see how it's made. And I go home and I play around with fabric. Like, that's what I do. And I kind of figure it out on my own. Like, that's how I learned how to sew. Nobody really sat there and taught me how to do anything. Like, I just took apart things and put it back together and I taught myself how to do everything.
I can attest that she's got a huge sewing room. Jessica has a lot of beautiful bolts of things. And culture rooms at tribal headquarters has tons of fabric. So people love to collect these.
I was going to say, I think it's very true. Ashley makes a great point. We really we try to give our perspective to what we kind of see out there. And we take it home. I know at our cultural centers, I used to teach in Naples. I used to teach the sewing classes. I was the cultural teacher. So I did baskets and dolls and other things. But it's like the ladies would come together, see something, as Ashley said, like in the stores, have the conversation in the cultural room about how we could try to make something like that. Like, we like the little poof sleeve for the girls, or we like this. So I think that those conversations and critical thinking skills really keep moving the patchwork and the designs forward. And so it's just really just taking it back and figuring it out on your own and then actually come up with something much different. Not something that's off the shelf, but your interpretation of something, you know.
And I just want to also say, Amy, that there are patchwork competitions for sewers because patchwork is made in strips. So many seamstresses, and there have been at Big Cypress, there used to be a man called Jimmy O'Toole Osceola, who was a male maker. And the finer the intricacy of the pattern, bird or fire or rain or lightning, whatever it is, is that the higher the value, Ashley, in terms of what judges look for?
The more intricate the design, the more expensive it's going to be because it's very time consuming. Once your little pieces get smaller, it makes it a lot harder.
Right,
makes sense.
Yeah,
Ashley, Jessica, Jackie mentioned your social media savvy. You're on Instagram, yeah. Following the New York Fashion Week online. You sell your creations online. Do you feel any sort of past meets future with your patchwork?
Do I what?
Feel like you're sort of you're the past meeting the future.
I guess in a way. I make traditional style things, but then I like to make modern things, and when I post some, like, I'll just be inspired by something I saw, and I'll make it, and I'll post it, and people go crazy for it.
Jessica, what is next for you? Do you have shows that you're preparing for, art shows?
I have one currently touring the country. It's called Return from Exile. It's a show curated by Tony Tiger and Bobby Martin, and it was actually in Collier County. It just left, but it's in Arkansas, and it's going to travel all over. I have a bronze piece in there that shows a mother and a son wearing a traditional outfit, a skirt, and also a backpack and a flag. So she's kind of both, modern and traditional, but she was taking a walk to save the Everglades, to save the home. So it was based on, like, an activist walk and kind of, like, the son confronting the mother, asking a question, like, how do we do this? And then the mother asking the audience, how do we do this? How are we saving our mothers, you know? So, like, mothers and Mother Earth. So there's a cycle going on. But the patchwork was in there, and it's in a modern context, too. And so other than that, I have my MFA coming to a close. Yes! Like, I'll get my life back. And I actually, patchwork keeps me grounded because a couple times a year I get to sit down and crank out, like, work at the sewing machine and feel like I'm rooted into how I grew up. Like, the way I lived, my grandmother's sewing machine was always going. The sounds of da-da-da-da-da was always happening. And so it always feels like, ugh, like, not in the hustle bustle of, like, academic life and this and that. It's going to be nice to slow down and have... Not much, because I do miss doing baskets. I haven't, with the son in school, I haven't had to sit down and do baskets. It takes just patience and time, and I'm at short supply of that with the amount of homework I have. So,
and I hear your deep breath.
So my plan is vacation, actually. No.
And Jackie, what stories are next up for the series?
So we did one called Osceola at the 50-Yard Line about the relationship. We just used Patrick as a prism to talk about different aspects of tribal culture, both Miccosukee and Seminole. And we did Osceola at the 50-Yard Line about Florida State University and the collaboration between the school and the tribe in terms of the garments worn by the representational rider. Princess Pageant, the next one's called Man in the Patchwork Jacket. And I'm really looking forward to interviewing a young 15-year-old who's learning to be an alligator wrestler tomorrow in Immokalee. Alex Johns, who's head of the Seminole Florida Cattlemen's Association. The tribe has the fifth biggest herd in the state. Most modern internet sales. I really want to bring, just what Ashley was saying, what you were saying, Jessica, saying, I want to bring that tradition to something contemporary. And my goal is that people learn about all of this far beyond the borders of the state.
Great. That is all the time we have, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us, Jessica, Ashley, and Jackie.
Thank you for having us.
It was great.
Thank you.
Jessica Osceola is an FGCU graduate from Naples who uses patchwork as an artist. Ashley Cypress is a seamstress on the Miccosukee Reservation in Collier County. And Jackie Lyden produces the fashion podcast and NPR series The Seams, including stories on Seminole Indian patchwork. Information is at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. We'll be back in a moment with Tampa author Tim Dorsey, who's on his 19th novel about a lovable serial killer who happens to know all the crazy things that happen in Florida. And the books are now becoming a TV series. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.